I have chosen today for a verse of scripture from John, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Other scriptures portray the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. He plainly says here that if we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And it is of a certainty that we need the light of life in our life. And I thought of the song we have just sung, how it harmonized with this passage of scripture that I've just read. A whispered prayer, just a whispered prayer, and a load of care is lifted. It says, do not travel on in darkness. We know that many scriptures indicate that we should trust in Jesus Christ and God. We should walk in their light. But all too often, man in their humanness fails to avail ourselves of this light of Christ, and as a result they walk in darkness. Now this can affect any person, even those who have entered the waters of baptism and have decreed that they wish to change their life. It can affect them as well as those who are uninterested in baptism, as well as those who are interested mainly in the works of the flesh and in the lust of the flesh. It can affect people who, as I said, have entered the waters of baptism. If they don't follow Jesus Christ fully and completely, to that degree, they can walk in darkness. All too often, things can enter our life that can cause discouragement and stress, can cause people almost to the point of desiring to give up. And we certainly live in a day of trial, a day of tribulation, and one never knows what his trial might be next, or what might be required of him in the days ahead. We have not this foreknowledge, and maybe it is better we don't have, because if we really knew what might be our lot a few months from now, maybe we would say, well, it really isn't worth waiting around for this or that would come. And yet today we have these various things that try us. And yet Jesus said, if you follow him, you shall not walk in darkness. And I want to impress upon us today the vitalness of following Jesus Christ. Now I would like to turn to 2 Nephi 11. And this is found in 95 through 106 on page 147. In this scripture, we have advice similar to what I've just brought out, starting with verse 95. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. And so we find that the Lord does not work in darkness. We just read, those that walk in the light of Jesus and follow him will not walk in darkness. And here it says that the Lord does not work in darkness. If we back up in this same scripture and take some verses, maybe 90 and on down through some of the others there, and then I would like to really take through 106, because there's a lot of advice here that I believe is valuable for us. It tells about the Gentiles being lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and they have stumbled, it says. It looks down through time in this scripture and portrays the day that we're in, and even the days that have preceded us. I would say even the days of the restoration of the church. It looked down into that era of time. And it says they stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block. They have built up many churches. And this might seem like a strange statement. How could building up many churches be a stumbling block? The next verse answers it. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God. So any church that's built up unto God must have these things in him and not put down the power and miracles of God. There are those that preach up unto themselves and in their own wisdom and their own learning. And it says to get gain and to grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envying and strife and malice. And this might again seem like a strange statement. But yet in this, it must be by the power of God. And verse 93 indicates that there also in a day that there would be secret combination, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the foundation of all these things. The devil is the foundation of all these things that are wrong. He is the foundation of murder and the works of darkness. And that's why I wanted to show here this day of the importance of relying upon God and Jesus Christ and following him. For those that do that shall not walk in darkness. But those who avail themselves of these secret combinations according to this scripture and become involved therein are walking in darkness. Those who murder are walking in darkness. The devil is the founder of such things as this. He is the founder of the lust of the flesh that causes man to lust after things that are not beneficial to his soul well-being. And it is another one of the works of darkness. And so how careful we must be. And this next verse tells us that he leadeth them by a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. And so this shows the way the devil functions. He works in deceitful ways. He might even cause you, it might even be something that would appear right. There's things that are done that the devil can appear as a minister of righteousness. Not just something that would we know that's evil, but he can appear, and his angels with him can appear as ministers of righteousness, whose things might seem good, but whose ultimate end would be wrong and would be a thing of darkness. Because he would lead people this way till he gets them going this way, and then he keeps adding on the little things of darkness. So the Lord God does not work in darkness. He doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, and this Lord God here would have to be Jesus Christ. For it says he lays down his own life that he might draw all men unto me, unto him, is what it really says here. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, depart from me? The question today, does he say that to any people upon the face of this earth? It isn't what the scripture said. It said his arm is reached out unto the children of men. His arm is lengthened to everyone in this room and unto all people who live upon the face and breadth of this earth. He is desirous that all come unto him, regardless of nationality, regardless of belief. Heathen or Jew or Gentile or what they are, he wants all to come upon him, come to him, but it has to be under his conditions and his way. Before I finish this scripture, I would like to turn to one in Revelations, the third chapter, because it harmonizes verse 20 and 21. Does Christ say, depart from me? Does not he reach out? This scripture says he reaches out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. There is the promise down through the ages to the children of men that he stands at the door and knock. And this day, every person in this room, no matter who you are or what is your particular need, the Master is there, beckoning and desiring to come in. But he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, you got a responsibility. You must heed this beckoning call. You must open the door. And he says, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus Christ suffered temptations as we suffer temptation. He suffered affliction. He suffered trials and tribulation. But he overcame. And he is set down with his Father in his throne. And then John says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So that cry has been since the day this was written. And according to this, it says AD 96. And so I suppose that's reasonably accurate. The last scripture that was put in the confines of the Bible, that we have at least. And John the Revelator saw some great and marvelous things. And so the cry is to you today to beckon unto this scripture and other scriptures that he has for us to follow. Now going back again on page 147, verse 99. Well, I'll reread 98. Behold, doth he cry? That is Jesus Christ saying, depart from me? No, he doesn't. Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he saith, come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, buy milk and honey, without money and without price. One of the last thing, and maybe the only thing, that has a tag on it, without price. How do you think you would fare at the grocery store if you didn't have the price? If you didn't have the means wherewith to purchase? You wouldn't take out very much in your sack. He might not even let you have the sack, an empty one. But here, the greatest gift of all, it is for eternity, is without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he hath given it free for all men. And he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repentance. And there is the key again, repentance. And as one in the Book of Commandments says, preach not but repentance unto this generation. And so, really, repentance is a big subject. It involves all the other commandments with it, as a matter of fact. But repentance is valuable. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. And sometimes man might say, well, it looks like I'm being discriminated against. And you might see some person with a lot of trials. You might see some person with an ailing wife or an ailing mother or ailing children or all manner of things, homes deteriorating and falling apart, anything that will try the children of men. And you might wonder why. But in all this, God is mindful of our every need. Two songs touch me rather deeply today. Number one is 330 in the Zion's hymnal, Does Jesus Care? And the other, Just a Whispered Prayer. And it seems like both of these songs moved me spiritually today. It showed to me that God is mindful of our every need. But he wants us to reach out to him today. No matter how rough the way may seem in your life or my life. And sometimes it seems like late in my own life, I wonder about a lot of things. It seems like many things that I'm having to leave undone and things I desire to get done. It seems like I'll never get caught up. And like I say, I may never get caught up in this life. There may not be enough time. But in all this, we have to do this, is to put Jesus Christ number one. And I remember this statement about a brother in Yucatan who has since departed. And one of his great loves was Jesus Christ and his work for the church. He put that number one in his life. Yet this person was one who suffered many bodily afflictions, even to the point where it took his life. He was a man that was valuable in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who left a void when he left, who was a strength and a tower of strength to those other ministry and membership in Yucatan. And yet, for some reason, he was not healed. He has since went to his Maker. But in all this, we may wonder why it is this way today, and why different things are this way in our life. But God does care, no matter how dark the way may seem. And all too often, man today, in his humanness, when the way gets dark, all too often does not turn sufficiently to God and Jesus Christ. You know this is true today, if you have any discernment at all. And as Jesus Christ said, well, he maybe not have said it, but one of the hymns said it, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not take everything to him in prayer. And that is to Jesus Christ. We're to pray to God in the name of Jesus. He does care today. And we need him. We need to become stronger in the faith. We need to come to the place wherein we know that what is spoken in our midst or what happens among us, whether it is of God or whether it is not. And we must walk closely to God to really have the complete spirit of discernment in our midst. We shouldn't walk in the valley of indecision. There is a scripture of old that says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And really, it may be kind of been taken out of context a bit. But anyway, how true it is, today you and I have a decision to commit our lives more fully to Jesus Christ and God, to walk hand in hand with him. And if I can impress that upon you today, your life will be more fully enriched. You'll be able to handle the problems of life more efficiently and effectively. And I'm not saying that you will not have them. I would like to read 106 here. He commandeth that there should be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world. And this should not be, that they may get gain and praise of the world, but they seek not the welfare of Zion. And really, this verse, again, is not wholly in accord maybe with all what I want to bring out today. But it follows verse 105. And it shows that there are priestcrafts in our world today. Those who set themselves up for a light unto the world, and they do it for gain. Those who seek not the welfare of Zion. And we've heard Zion cried since we have come to the age of accountability or understanding. Maybe I should word it that way. There is none that has been connected with the restoration that hasn't heard about Zion and different parts connected with it. But yet in all this, certain things have to be in their proper order. Now I want to back up and read to verse 105 and take some other scriptures. Behold, I say unto you, nay. Does he command any to not partake his goodness? No. But all men, and notice this, are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. And why would anybody seemingly be forbidden? Because of their volition. Now let's turn over to verses 113 through 115. He inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. None are separated from the love of Christ. He remembereth the heathen. And all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. Now it tells us in the scripture of a time preceding the very last days. It will be called the time of the heathen. A time of darkness, mind you. That the devil is the founder of. And the heathen nations are distressing this world to no end. And yet this same Jesus Christ and God here, he says he remembereth the heathen. And all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. So just because they're distressing a lot of the face of this earth, and we have these things, detente or however you call the word, and all this, how great we want to get together and have harmony. Let's reduce our ammunitions. Let's do all this, and the only ones that's probably doing it most specifically is the United States of America, while one of the great heathen nations heaps greater munitions. And there is a scripture in Nahum that says, fortify thyself mightily. Keep the munition in such as this. And we have that for us, and are we heeding it? No, we're not heeding it. So the thing is, it looks like we got only one alternative, and that is your trust and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and how we apply them to our life. We aren't living in a day of just funds, and, like you used to play marbles. Well, I'm just playing for fun today. We aren't taking, you know. We aren't doing this for fun. We're living in something that's serious. And so we better be alert of our day. We better be awake. And we better put on the cloak of righteousness. I would like to turn to the book of Galatians, the third chapter. And this is found in verses 27 through 29. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, and notice this, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I don't care what lineage ye are, it don't make one bit of difference. And by this I don't mean that there aren't some great and marvelous blessings promised unto the house of Israel in our day. But the only reason that will become a reality is because they'll learn to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And this here very plainly says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There isn't bond or free. And it don't matter whether you're a male or a female. But what does matter that you're one in Christ Jesus. And also, if you're this, then you're Christ. And you're one then of Abraham's seed. You come in as heirs according to the promise. Israel can come in by lineage, but they still have to come in this way in service as well. I'd like to turn to page 158 in the Book of Mormon, and this is found in verses 77 through 78. For behold, I send you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord. You can't make it any ways different than this. And as many as the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be them that repent and believe in His Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. Now let's back up and read two other verses. Sometimes I like to do things in reverse. 75 and 76. And now behold, my beloved brethren, as Nephi spoke to his brethren of old, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye would suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be, looking down to our day. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And this is bond or free, Jew or Gentile, heathen or whoever you are. And because of the words which have been spoken, you need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. And there's a number of things that's spoken about the Gentile of our day. Except they repent, and when they're ripe in iniquity, they can be swept off the face and breath of this earth. And you better believe it today, because it can happen. So people better awake to the awfulness of the situation that our world is in today. I'd like to turn to Romans, the second chapter, and read verses 9 through 13. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. And how fair and just that is. There is no respect of persons with God. But He demands and asks for your service and your obedience. For as many as have sinned without the law, and notice this, shall also perish without the law. If you sin, it's wrong. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now I have some others that really don't relate wholly to it, but I want to read 13 through 16 also. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So today you can hear all that I preach, and I'm bringing it right out of the Scriptures. And if you just hear it and don't do it, it isn't going to avail you what it should avail you of. And God's arm has reached out to everyone in this room, no matter what it is, your need today. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. And this next verse kind of explains that. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. And this is people that don't have the law, but because of their actual goodness, because of their love of man and the type of life they live, this has become a law unto themselves. It's written in their hearts, even though they don't have it. And there's people that way. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts demean while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So that will be, it will be judged, it says here, when God shall judge by Jesus Christ. And in another place over here in John 5:22, it says He's committed all judgment to the Son. So really a lot of things, even the world was created by Christ, or God had Christ do it, even though God was responsible for it. I would like to turn to 1 Nephi 5:121. This is page 56. Behold, the Lord esteemeth all flesh in one. He that is righteous is favored of God. So you ought to remember that. He that is righteous is favored of God. And now actually, we want to take some more of this scripture, 117 through 131. And now here we find Nephi speaking unto his people about their fathers who were led out of Egypt, who wandered 40 years in the wilderness, who came to the River Jordan at the end of that time, and the River Jordan was parted, and they went in and took the land of Jericho. And we know this story. They went in and took that land. And there was another place there where the Lord even used the hornet to drive out a people before the Israelites. Little by little, He drove it out so it wouldn't become a barren land. But this was left to the Israel people. Now let's read here from 117. And after they had crossed the River Jordan, He did make them mighty unto the driving out the children of the land, yea, unto the scattering them to destruction. And some people might say, well, my, that sounds terrible to take a people who live in the land. How would you like that here in Mesa County? and suddenly another people come in and drove every one of you out of here and you never even had your home, you'd be pretty mad, wouldn't you? Well, this happened to these people here. They were driven out of the land of their homeland. Now, mind you, even the walls of Jericho fell down and they went in and destroyed all those people. It seems harsh, but that's what happened. And others were driven out of this promised land. Well, let's read on. And now, verse 118, and listen to this. And now do you suppose that the children of this land, who were in the land of promise, who were driven out by our fathers, do you suppose that they were righteous? Do you suppose that? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Do you suppose that our fathers would have been more choice than they if they had been righteous? Behold, I say unto you, nay. So, if the people that lived there in the land of Jericho and the lands round about, if they'd been righteous, do you suppose that those of Israel would have come in and driven them out? They certainly would not. Because it says here, the Lord esteemeth all flesh one. He wants obedience, yes. He that is righteous is favored of God. But behold, this people, the ones who lived in that land ahead of the Israelites, had rejected every word of God. And how fastly that is fitting. Many in the United States of America today and over the face of this world. And they were ripe in iniquity. And the fullness of the wrath of God was upon them. That's why they were destroyed and taken out of that land. Now I have a side reference that I want to bring in. 2 Nephi 12, 20 and 21. Page 154. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth. Right down looking at our day. And in that day, they that are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that is plain. That day will be. Okay, going back to verse 124 on page 56. And the Lord did curse the land against them, those that inhabited the land round about Jordan and Jericho and that, and bless it unto our fathers. Yea, he did curse it against them unto their destruction. And he did bless it unto our fathers, unto their obtaining power over it. Behold, the Lord hath created the earth, that it should be inhabited. This earth that we live upon, he's created, it should be inhabited by mankind. And he hath created his children, yes, that they should possess it. He's done this. And he raiseth up a righteous nation, and destroyeth the nations of the wicked. Now that's plain. These words have been written for years. It's time we avail ourselves of what really is written in these scriptures and take heed of them. And he leadeth away the righteous into precious lands. Now what was happening to the Jaredites? They were brought forth from the great Tower of Babel to a land that was reserved for a righteous people. And we're living on a part of that land today. And it's an everlasting decree of God that whosoever shall possess this land shall serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, or when they're ripe in iniquity, they'll be swept off the face of that land. And it happened. Not once, but twice. First the Jaredites, then the Nephites. And the Nephites inherited what the Jaredites could have had. And then the Nephites were swept off and was left yet another people there. And then the Gentiles come along and possessed this land. And the blessings that they could have had were reserved for the Gentiles. But if the Gentiles fail to wholly repent and serve God, which it would look like they have not done, then they too can be swept off. However, any who do repent are numbered with the covenant. So they need not fear. But those who don't needs fear. Whether it's Gentile or Jew, bond or free, whatever they are. And he raiseth up a righteous nation and destroyeth the nations of the wicked. And he leadeth away the righteous unto precious lands, and the wicked he destroyeth, and curseth the land unto them for their sakes. And you might analyze our land today. I believe it's getting more and more cursed by the iniquity upon the face of it, for one thing, by the insects and pestilences that are upon it, by the tremendous change in the weather. 1 year so dry that they can't raise anything, and the next year so wet that they're washed off into the sea in California. We never know what really will take place next, so we better be alert of what is taking place. He ruleth high in the heavens, for it is his throne. This earth is his footstool. And he loveth those who will have him to be their God. Now I would like to turn to Colossians, the third chapter. In this particular reading, I'll read verses 10 through 17. And have put on the new man. Now this is what God wants. This is what he requires of us. Now actually verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then it says, and on down, and have put on the new man. This is our responsibility, to put on a new man and to serve Jesus Christ and God, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's what is vital, that Christ is all. There is a scripture here that says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is our foundation and the very key one in the Church of Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So if you have made a certain commitment to God, here is a responsibility that is yours. Holy and beloved, you're to put on bowels of mercies. You're to have mercy in your heart toward your fellow being. And Jesus Christ said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And kindness is a thing that should be a part of your makeup. And you're to have humbleness of mind. You're to have meekness and long-suffering. This outlines some of the things that are expected of you and I this day. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. It looks like that even though we're brothers and sisters, we're going to have things to forgive. We are each made not out of the same mold. There is no one in this room, I think I counted 32 today, that has the same personality. We're all different. Some of us are maybe a little harder minded than others. Some of us may lack patience more than others. Some of us may not be as humble as others. Some of us may be quick to point the finger at what others are doing. Some of you may be more long-suffering than others, and patient and meek. But in all this, we're people, and we will have reason for forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a commandment we had in our Sunday school class. Name listed there some of the commandments of Christ. There's a whole pile of them here. Even though he didn't specifically maybe write these here, he inspired those who would do it. And above all these things, put on what? And everybody I think would know. Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. says, go on into perfection. And a bond, their perfection or perfectness, is charity. As the Book of Mormon says in Moroni, the pure love of Christ, and you've heard me mention this time and time again, you've heard others of our ministry mention it, you've heard the different one of the members mention it. And it also says, not only is it the pure love of Christ, but your responsibility this day henceforth, as long as you have life, is to pray with all the energy of your heart that you might be filled with that love. Let us do it. Because where love leads away, things can be different. We had a reunion shortly, not too long ago. And in this reunion, it was mentioned a number of times, the theme of it was love. And it seems like one day something was brought out about love connected with the hymn. And it seems like it influenced that service toward that end. And even the influence of the whole reunion was along the line of love. And yet it's up to you and I how much we really want to partake of the love that's there, or how much we want to partake of the love of God today. But we must be quick to forgive. We must be slow to anger and wrath. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, not anger, not harshness, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. So when we receive, let's thank God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. There is the key. Even the rod of iron is Nehi and Lehi of old Saul. Grasp that rod of iron, which is the word of God, which if grasped firmly and walked along that straight and narrow path, will lead you to the tree of life. A tree whose fruit can make you happy above all that you have ever known. That is pure above all that is pure. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is the way we are commanded to do it. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So there we have outlined some very fine advice. Yes, how true it is, God is no respecter of persons. I have a scripture in Acts that I would like to bring out. I believe the 10th chapter, verses 34 and 35. And I'll read it, and then I'll give a little of the background story of this, to show that really God is no respecter of persons. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And there is the key. In any nation, those that fear him and work righteousness is accepted with him. Now this is tied around the conversion of Cornelius. We find this man Cornelius in verse 1 and 2. It says, he was a centurion of the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And yet, he was a Gentile. And we find that there was a separation in that day between even like the Samaritans and the Jews. We find that Peter had a rather remarkable experience here this day. He was a hunger that he went up on the housetop to pray, and he saw a great sheet let down from heaven, had all manner of beasts in it, and a voice says, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And he says, not so, Lord, I've not ate anything that is common or unclean. And he also says, what God hath cleansed, let not man call unclean. I didn't read all this, I'm going kind of on memory. And this happened three times to Peter that day. And then when Cornelius came to him, and he saw the devoutness of this man, and his desire to serve God, even though he wasn't a part of what he was by lineage, yet he saw that God was not a respecter of persons, that he recognized the righteousness of Cornelius. And even he noticed that the Holy Ghost fell on him, and he says, can we forbid baptism to any that the Holy Ghost have come upon, as well as we? So they didn't forbid baptism because of that. And he had a unique experience here. And I wanted us to maybe remember this as we go today and think of Peter's experience in the 10th chapter of Acts, and to know this, that the vital thing is to fear God, to work righteousness. If you do this, you're accepted of God and Jesus Christ. And how important it is that you and I point our lives toward this end of greater service to Christ, that Christ might become all in our lives, that he might become number one, and that we might serve him and pray to God in his name, that he might bless our activities of life, that he might lift us in our time of need and our time of trial. And even as a hymn we sung, just a whispered prayer, and he is there to lift the load of care. So really, he does care. As the scripture says here too, and I won't turn to it, I think it's in Peter, he careth for you. It may have been James, I don't know. I could find it, but it isn't important. He does care for each one of us. But he wants something out of us. He wants our service. And when we give him this, greater blessings can be ours. And I hope and pray that we avail ourselves of this, and that we stand tall and firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ.